Town Board Meeting Work Session, April 15th, 2020.
We are. I'll give it about another minute here. I apologize for logging in. For some reason, a transition from the town hall to my house makes the logging into GoToMeeting a little laggy, so we'll give it another minute. We've got about 23 people signed in right now. And Kathy, I see Kelly. All right. If everybody that's on the call, if you're not using a tablet, computer, a smartphone, etc., if you're just dialing with a regular landline, you start #6 or #6 again to mute or unmute your phone. You can just mute your phones. That way, we won't have any feedback.
Jason, what do you hit? I'm on a.
It's pound six.
Okay, because we're doing another meeting at 7:30 tonight, and I know somebody's going to dial in, and I didn't know that. So #6 will mute them. What unmutes them?
Yeah.
Jason, what would unmute them when they want to talk?
The same thing. Think of it almost like a walkie-talkie. It's the same key command. It just mutes or unmutes your phone.
Okay, #6. All right, got it. Thank you.
All right, well, it's about 5 minutes after. Brian and Josh, I'll let you guys have the floor and explain where the World of Finance is regarding the LoSAP program.
Okay, well, thank you, and just as a to start, my name's Brian Leibel. Most of you have probably met me at some point in time. Josh Kaplan's also here on the line, and we're from Landmark Wealth Management. We manage the LoSAP plan. And first of all, I just want to say that I hope everybody's safe and healthy and doing well, not only yourselves, but your family and your loved ones. We have been fortunate enough at Landmark to be able to work remotely without any interruption, although it's been a really crazy and unprecedented period of time. And I just read that this is a health crisis that we haven't seen in literally a century. I think the most comparable thing was the 1918 Spanish flu. So certainly a real unprecedented and historic period, and that it definitely impacted the markets, as you all know. Really, it's been just like putting on a circuit breaker to economic activity that's resulted in market volatility and then a subsequent significant market government response. So I just want to mention that we have been monitoring the data, we've been monitoring the markets, we are working every day and rebalancing portfolios where it's appropriate, monitoring the underlying investments, making tweaks and changes as needed. There were some changes we made actually before this market crisis started that actually have helped the portfolio and the portfolios of our clients. So those were helpful. But certainly a challenging period of time. And I think, the one thing I just want to emphasize is that when we put the portfolios together, whether it's for at an institutional level like yourselves or for individual clients, you can think of it like building a house, and you can build a house to sustain, different types of storms. And, we've built the portfolios to really hold up to level 5 hurricanes, and that's kind of what we're experiencing now. And this is difficult to get through. It's a challenge, but I do want to let you know that given the significant amount of bonds and fixed income that are meant for safety and stability, they have done well. They have held up. They will get the portfolio through the cash flow needs and allow the other portion of the portfolio time to recover. And, you know, really in one sense, periods of time like this are periods where they can present opportunities, actually. And while it's difficult and there's a desire and an urge to move more to safety, that's actually what we don't want to do in terms of, you know, on an extreme level. Now, you know, maybe back and forth a little bit, taking a little bit of money off the table, things like that. But what we definitely don't want to do is, you know, go to an ultra-conservative position, because, you know, that's really the worst thing to do in a market downturn when you've experienced some losses. And so, you know, I'm going to turn it over to Josh, but just wanted to give you a quick overview. And also wanted to mention, as I said earlier, that, you know, we've been able to work seamlessly from home. You know, we have the technology and the ability to do that trading and all of that. So, you know, no concern on that. But I'm going to turn it over to Josh to give you kind of an overview of where things are at. And then I'll also be jumping in, you know, for commentary as well. Go ahead, Josh. See, did we lose them?
There we go. Can you hear me, Josh? Okay?
Good, Josh. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So we're going to start on, we sent over a packet of information, and we're going to start on page one of that packet. It should say discussion topics over at the top there. And so if we look at where the town portfolio plan is positioned, the target, as Brian mentioned, you know, you've got 50% in your bonds, so your safe bucket, and 50% in your equity portion. And so that's, you know, things are down for the year, but that's certainly helped to cushion some of the volatility we've seen. So year to date, the plan is down 9.2% or just over $230,000. And if we look at the period of time we went through, so markets peaked in late February, and their most recent bottom was at the end of March. So markets were down over 34% from their peak to their bottom. And if you look at what the portfolio was down, it was down right around 20% over that same period of time. So you can see, you know, again, the value of having, you know, fixed income as well as some of the more diversified assets in the portfolio. And obviously since, you know, we hit that bottom in March, we've seen the portfolio come back, you know, fairly strongly towards the end of March and early April here. As Brian mentioned, during that time while the portfolio was going through that volatility, we used it as an opportunity to rebalance. And so what we're doing there, you know, as the equity portion of the portfolio comes down, your fixed income, maybe instead of 50%, you know, maybe it's 55% or 60%. And so what we do there is we'll take some of the fixed income in the portfolio, we'll sell out of that, and then we'll rebalance into equities. And that allows us to, you know, take advantage of the volatility where we can. You know, it's never comfortable to go through these periods of time, but, you know, if we're able to buy into the equity market at lower prices, that helps the portfolio rebound even further on the upside. And so if you look since inception, with the portfolio that we started managing in April of 2016, even through the volatility, the portfolio has gained over $300,000. We're coming off a very strong year in 2019. The portfolio was up, you know, close to 15.5% or $350,000. So, again, you're going to have, you know, rocky periods here in the market, but, again, we've built up some cushion over the past few years, which will help us weather the storm, so to speak. And if we kind of cut through it and look since inception, you can see the portfolio when we started managing it, it had $2,460,000. You've had net withdrawals, so that's money taken out and factoring in the money that the town puts in each year. So net withdrawals of over $500,000. As I mentioned, the net gain's been over $300,000, and the current plan value is right around $2,260,000. And then just very briefly, you know, and as I mentioned, looking back year to date, the portfolio, it's down 9.2% or $230,000.
From a withdrawal perspective, so just as,
can I just add something, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just to, you know, so 9.2%, again, you look at that in context to the, where the market was, down 34%. So in a bear market, which we do know that we'll experience every 4 to 6 years or so, is about a 20% drop. So, you know, really, as difficult and as challenging as this has seemed to be, you know, on a positive end, the numbers actually are not that bad. I mean, they're not great, but and they're certainly negative. But, you know, 9.2 is something that we would model and expect in any given down year. You know, that's not unusual. So, you know, we know we still may have some down periods here, you know, as this thing works itself out over the next few months. So certainly we could trend back down and then come back again. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, really being down 9.2, given that at one point the markets were down between 30 and 40%, you know, we feel pretty good about it, actually.
So that, just want to pause there, I guess, and just see if anyone has any questions or comments, Jason.
Hi, this is Kathy Selby. I have a quick question in regard to the rebalancing of the funds. How often do you do that, and what kind of climate determines that action? Thank you.
Yeah, so we're always monitoring the portfolio on an ongoing basis. And so, I mean, at a minimum, if we're saying during a normal year, at a minimum, we're looking at the portfolio relative to its 50-50 target, you know, 4 times a year and making sure that it's in line with it. Now, that doesn't mean we will go in and actually do trades. If things are, you know, behaving the way we want them to behave, then that's fine. When we see more heightened market volatility, so once we see the equity market fall, you know, at least 10 to 12%, that's a trigger then that will go across our client base and kind of opportunistically rebalance. And then we continue to monitor for additional rebalancing opportunities as the volatility persists.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
so
does that determine that at this time of volatility, that you'll be doing more of those rebalancings?
Yeah, so we rebalance.
Would rebalance a little bit more during more volatile times. So like in a more calm market, we're going to rebalance more systematically because there isn't much of a need. But in the down market, you know, we are going to rebalance a little bit more. But likewise, I would also mention, and what I was going to mention, is that as the markets were rising last year, we were also rebalancing. So as the markets were going up, you know, your allocation of 50% stocks, they were rising. So maybe it was like 55. We were protecting some of those gains by putting those in bonds. So that's why, you know, you do that not only in the challenging and down periods, but also in the good periods, because you want to protect the gains in the good periods. And in the negative markets like we're experiencing now, you want to take advantage of those. I mean, and one thing behaviorally to think about is, you know, when the market was down 34%, that's really, you can think of it as things being on sale, 34%, right? I mean, I it's a challenging thing to do, but honestly, it's a good time to buy. I mean, you're buying companies like Apple, Google, you know, some of these real strong American companies that there's no reason to think that they're worth 34% less than they were just a few weeks ago. I mean, certainly the virus and the some of the shutdown and the loss of revenue is going to affect the company, but that likely will only be temporary, maybe a few months, maybe a year. But we're talking about companies who have been in business for decades, and in some cases, you know, nearly a century or more. You know, you think about when something's on sale at the grocery market, it's 34% off your run to the store. But when the market's on sale, 34%, everybody, you know, moves away from the market. But, you know, it's really about changing the perspective, and that's what's, you know, important. And that's a big role that we have, is to help people through these periods and see it a little bit differently.
This is Deputy Supervisor Rich Hawkins. Can you tell me what the account is vested at right now, percentage-wise?
Yeah. As far as you're saying the participant vesting percentage?
Right.
So we wouldn't have that information offhand. That's more the actuaries, Penflex, would have that, but we're happy to follow up to them with that question and provide that after the call.
Because the account was never set up to be 100% vested anyway. I know in 2008, when the market exploded, we went from 90% down to about 58% and stuff. But since you guys have taken over in 2016 and moved money around, when you took over, you had mentioned the account was like $2 million something, and it's still over $2 million or something, even though there's been a 34% drop.
Yeah, the current plan value, you know, as we mentioned, is $2,260,000. And when we started, it was $2,460,000.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things to keep in mind also, is that, you know, the portfolio has really been able to keep up with the withdrawals, even in the period of time that we have. I think, you know, that's an important point, is that we're looking at the portfolio really at a bad time, and yet it's still been able to maintain, you know, its balance. So that's something I think, again, that, you know, the town and the fire department should be feel good about, that, you know, the plan is still in relatively good shape and holding up well. And, you know, we're not looking at it at a high. We're actually looking at it at what is likely to be a low time. And you think about it this way, in 2008, those market levels we have never seen again. So once we get through this, like we did in 2008, we probably won't get back to these low points again, because at some point the market moves on, it rallies up, and then, you know, there'll be other down markets, but they'll never get back to these levels again. Just like, you know, we never get back to the levels when we had the tech bubble or when we had 9/11. We just have never, you know, we'd have to see, you know, over 50-60% drop in the market, which, you know, I don't think is going to happen, you know. So now I'm knocking on wood when I say that. But point being is that, you know, keep in mind this is a low point that we're looking at it. So, you know, our expectation is within a year or so, you know, we'd be seeing, you know, gains in the portfolio again.
So I guess my question is, this is Deputy Supervisor again, that the money that the town is putting into the accounts and right now and stuff, is are we good at that amount and stuff? Because that's going to be the fire company's concern, and the town, of course, and stuff, that we're keeping the account stable and that we're not going to fall into the way everything is protected, that we're not going to fall into a bigger loss.
Yeah, I think that the town is, you know, certainly under some constraints, and they're putting in a decent amount year in the last few years, and so, you know, I think that those amounts are going to help quite a bit. But really, you know, what a lot of this will come down to, you know, we can't completely predict obviously the markets, and you know, as more people draw funds, that'll change the dynamics. But, you know, the underwriters and the actuaries, they're more conservative. They say that it could be a challenge. I think we're more optimistic. You know, we use return numbers that are a little more positive than they're using. And, you know, if we can hit those returns, which we've been able to do, I think, you know, we'll be in good shape. But, you know, obviously with markets, whether it's even in bonds, you know, or the stock market, there's never any guarantee. But, you know, right now I would say the plan is holding up well, and it's on a good trajectory here.
Thank you.
You know, and the one thing I would mention about the bond market is the Federal Reserve in this period of time, to help stabilize and buoy the economy is lowered rates to zero, the Fed fund rates. Now, what that means is all the other bond rates are going to go down, like you're looking at 10-year bonds, 1 to 2%. Point being is that at 1 to 2%, if we put everything in a safe bucket of money, let's just say we put them all in government bonds, that's not going to earn you enough money to hold up to the withdrawal. So that's why, you know, there's this balance between safety and growth. And that's, you know, a challenge, and that's a tricky balance to try to maintain. And so, again, it's just something to keep in mind. At 1%, 2%, you're not going to get there. That's why you need some of the assets in, you know, in the market to earn a little bit better long-term return.
Yeah, this is Jason. You know, and the other thing that, you know, Brian and Josh and I, we've had many conversations, and, you know, when the current board took this on, the letters that were coming in from Penflex, this fund was originally, from the Penflex perspective, you know, this was upside down about $750,000. So we had a lot of ground to try to make up in the first place. We were doing fairly decent up until the current economic times. So, you know, again, like Brian and Josh have both stated, the intent and hope is, while we've committed to continuing to fund this more than what it was in the past, because the funding was taken away at one point, historically speaking, you know, or lowered, I should say. It wasn't taken away, I'll correct myself, but it was lowered. Again, that put us into a shortfall. So we're trying to make up that ground. Nobody could have predicted this event happening. And really, I personally can't thank Josh and Brian enough for the work that they've done. Again, you know, look at your own personal investments if you have any, and take a look at your losses, and they probably range somewhere in a 20 to 30% range, depending on what you're invested in. And, you know, we're weathering the storm pretty well. So hopefully, and obviously the intent is to weather the storm, batten down the hatches, and then, you know, once the market starts to have its uptick, that rebalancing will put us on and chart us on a good path, followed by the contributions going forward from the town, and you know, we can get us back where, you know, this will be funded at a better, you know, much better level than what it was historically.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jason. You can come to our other meetings.
It's teamwork, you know, we sat down and we had those, you know, those conversations, you know, I'll call it exactly what it was. How do we want to strategize? How do we want to move that? You know, how do we want to move money? You know, Penflex was looking at the town board saying, you know, $750,000, you know, going into the red, and the fund was borderline insolvent when we took it over. So, you know, that's a fact. You know, I've had those conversations with the members of the fire departments, and, you know, again, our due diligence and our responsibility as good board members is to be, you know, manage this portfolio, you know, in conjunction with you, and partner on this, work together to get it where it needs to be. And you know, hopefully, again, none of us have a crystal ball. We can go based off of historical data, but hopefully we're on the right path and we can get this this fund where it needs to be, and, you know, go from there.
Right. Yeah. And it's so important to be rational in this period of time. And I think that's, you know, that's really important. And we appreciate that partnership and working with all of you, because again, having that rational and calmness is really what you know, leadership is about, and bringing us through these periods of time, because, you know, we see a lot of panic out there, and again, really where the leadership and the thought and the good decision making comes. And I've seen it over and over and again with you know, with people's investments, is when you have you know, again, that calm and rational thought. So, you know, that's important. And we appreciate that from all of you. I think, Josh, you have some, you know, some additional material to go through. Do you want to kind of walk through that? And obviously, if anybody has questions along the way, you know, feel free to step in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the next three pages give a little bit more detailed performance breakdown. So that's going to support what we covered on the agenda. But, you know, for everyone that's following along, if we go to the second page of the packet, it says portfolio value summary at the top there. And really just one point I want to highlight on this slide is there's the pie chart in the bottom left-hand corner.
which shows how the fund is currently allocated. And so, as we mentioned, the target's 50% fixed income, 50% equity. You know, we've rebalanced one. Right now, the fixed income, you know, it's closer to 55% in bonds. So we're monitoring the markets fairly closely right now. You know, you're going to see some choppiness here, especially as, you know, some of the economic data comes out and companies start releasing their earnings. But you can view that 5% that we're over in bonds as additional dry powder, so to speak. And so as we see opportunities in the market, we then take it as another opportunity to rebalance into equities at a lower price. So, again, we're monitoring things very closely on our end. Right now, we're kind of staying pat where the portfolio is. But, you know, as we see opportunities to invest that extra fixed income, we'll take advantage of them. If you you continue along, the next two pages just give performance by year that we've been here. And so you can see, you know, 2016, we had a partial year. The fund was up 5%. In 2017, the fund was up 9%. Fund was down slightly in 2018, was down 6%, but then recovered very strongly in 2019. As I mentioned, it was up 15.5%. And then again, you know, down 9.2% year to date. So that gives you kind of a sense overall of, you know, how the portfolio is allocated, as well as its current performance. The next few slides, you know, we put together, I think they're helpful to put the current sell-off and, you know, market event in perspective. And so, again, for those that are following along, the next chart should say peak to trough on it. And I think this just gives you a good sense of really, you know, where things were. I mean, if you look, you know, the markets peaked, as I mentioned, towards the end of February, and then fell sharply afterwards. And it was, so a bear market is a fall of 20% or more, and it took the S&P 500 only 21 days to fall 20%. So it was one of the quickest, you know, fall, decreases to a bear market in history. You know, the Dow Jones, which is a U.S. stock index, was down 37%. The S&P was down 34%. And again, during that time, your portfolio was only down 20%. And as you can see, you know, it's recovered strongly off of that. So, you know, it's unnerving to be down, and especially when you see the markets are down as much as they are. But I think you can see the value of staying the course. You know, the town's LoSAP plan went from down 20% to just down 9%. You know, so you can see how quickly the recovery was and the value of sticking with the strategy through that period of time. If we go to the next slide, this just gives you a sense, kind of looking out of really the economic damage that we're going to see. And as Brian, I think Brian gave an apt analogy for it. It's like a circuit breaker was flipped for the economy. And so typically when you go into a recession, you see more of a slow decline in growth and employment. And really what we're going to see here is just you've seen an abrupt shutoff across the board. So this slide just shows U.S. GDP growth. You know, some people are forecasting that you're going to see GDP growth drop by 25% in the second quarter. And again, that's just a really look in time when we say down 25%. That doesn't mean that if we looked at the whole year, the U.S. economy shrank by 25%. It's just if we looked in that particular quarter, it was a 25% decrease from activity in the prior quarter. So you're going to start seeing these headlines come out as companies release earnings and these economic forecasts come out. And really, you know, it's going to be jarring, but, you know, you're also going to start seeing a recovery in the second half of the year. You know, a lot of the major institutions are forecasting that you'll start to see a rebound and then the economy grow into 2021. If you go to the next slide, it should say, where do we go from here at the top? And I think that's helpful. You know, we basically looked at every drawdown of more than 25%. So every bear market since the 1950s. And really, on average, you see the markets fall top to bottom 34%. And so that's what we've seen here in this current period. And then if you look for how long it takes to recover to the previous peak, markets usually recover to their previous high within 24 months. So again, shows the value of staying the course. We've certainly seen quick movements in these markets, and so we've seen a pretty rapid recovery so far. And you know, again, we expect continued volatility looking out, but you can't predict it. And I think that just again shows the value of staying the course. And then before I pass it over to Brian, one other slide here. You know, again, if you look at all of these bear markets, so all these falls in the market of 20% or more since the 1950s, the common theme is that markets do recover. So, you know, if you're looking out the next few weeks, and, you know, we can't tell you what direction the next 20% is going to go, but we can tell you a year out, 3 years out, 5 years out, that often these steep declines that we see in the market really set the base for, you know, an expansion that lasts multiple years. So if you looked on average, you know, from these market bottoms in previous bear markets, you know, on average 1 year out, the markets were up over 32%. 3 years out, the markets averaged 16% per year. 5 years out, the markets averaged 14% per year. And 10 years out, the markets averaged 12% per year. So really, I think this shows the value of staying the course and that, you know, you really set the base for multiple years of strong returns after these poor periods of time in the market. I'm going to turn it over to Brian for the last few pieces here.
Yeah, and, you know, if we look at the next slide here with the stay the course, and really what this is just to emphasize is and you look at these newspaper headlines, and it's really to show, you know, how resilient the country is, and how resilient, you know, the economy and the markets are. And these all were challenging periods. And not only that, each period of time was different. And, you know, that's something we hear a lot, is this time is different, this seems different, or we haven't seen something like this before. But, you know, you look at Black Tuesday, that was the great stock market crash before the Great Depression. You know, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, you know, the tech bubble, the Cold War, 9/11, and then, you know, the Great Recession that we went through in 2008, where markets actually dropped from top to bottom over 50%. In each of those periods, as challenging as they were, as difficult as they were, you know, we were able to get through those. And, I mean, it speaks to the great resiliency and, you know, the greatness of our country and the economy behind it. You know, if there's one thing I think that's in Americans, it's the ability to persevere, push through, and to be entrepreneurial. And you know, every dark period of time, there comes, you know, opportunities, and we see many great companies and economic developments come out of these periods of time. And I have no doubt that this will happen again. And really what's important here is to just emphasize that we will get through this. You know, we're in this with you guys, we're in this together. And just to know that, you know, history has shown the market continues to go up. There's ups and downs, but we'll get through this as we always have. And then the last slide kind of related to that is just why we don't like to try to time the market. Because if you put it in the context of history, we don't need to time the market. You know, it's on our side. You know, it's generally trending up. And our way of timing the market is through rebalancing. We don't do it emotionally. We let the market tell us when it's a good time to rebalance. So if your account's low, you know, equities are on sale, that's a time to buy. If things are high, that's a time to sell. And, you know, we're doing that through the allocation, you know, automatically. And this chart here, what it shows is the blue dotted line is the actual market return. So you can see, with the exception of 2008, that blue dotted line was in the positive over that period of time. But those bars, those are investors' cash going in or out of the market. And what you can see is that investors were taking money out of the market in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. And it wasn't until 2013 that investors became comfortable to get back into the market. But unfortunately, during that period of time, again, 2009, 10, 11, and 12, and 13 as well, they were all positive periods of time. And between the time that investors got out of the market until the time they got comfortable to get back in, on average, you know, now some people are getting in sooner than others, but this just shows overall the entire stock market, cash moving in or out. On average, the market went up 110%, yet the typical investor did not put their cash back into the market at that yet. So, you know, we're trying to avoid that, and that's why you've heard the theme throughout this call of, you know, staying the course, of not panicking, not getting too conservative. And that's because all the data, everything points to that. And, you know, we have a plan, we have an allocation. We put this together prior to this market decline. And the plan is built prior to the declines. And that's what we always do, because we want a plan in place to handle these market events. And we don't want to be trying to figure this out or decide what to do during that time period, because we're too emotional. And so, you know, the plan that we have in place, the allocation we have in place, it's meant to withstand these kinds of periods, and it has. So, you know, I think, you know, we're well positioned. I think the portfolio is holding up well, and I have no doubt that, you know, we're again at a relatively low point. And I think, you know, we're going to see some ups and downs. I mean, I do want to mention that the next few months are probably going to be choppy. It's often these periods of time where we'll see another drop, particularly as the economic news comes out. You know, companies are going to start releasing earnings. You know, we don't know the magnitude of this going into the summer or fall. You know, I wonder, are people, even if we get through, you know, the isolation period, will people want to go to an 80,000 person stadium to watch football? You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Will we want to have our kids back to school next month? You know, I think if one child gets infected, everybody will hold their kids out. So there's going to be some challenges that we're going to have to get through. And, you know, we have to recognize that, you know, a lot of this is, you know, we're dealing with it as it comes. But in terms of the market and the portfolio, we have a good plan in place that, you know, we think is going to be able to hold up well. So with that, you know, we'll turn it over for questions or comments.
I have a question. The balance, $2.6 million, is that as of the end of March or is that as of today?
The balance of $2.26 million would be through yesterday.
Anyone else have any questions?
Yes, this is Rodney Carr with North Boston Fire Company again. The packets, we didn't see anything here on the screen. I don't know, will that be emailed out again as you've been doing in the past?
Yeah, I will follow up tomorrow and distribute it to the contact people at each fire company that I typically do. So you'll get that tomorrow, Rodney.
Okay, thank you.
Rodney, I also sent that up to the North Boston email this morning as well. So it should have been there, but we can definitely get that back out to everybody.
Okay, thank you, Jason.
Well, and again, we're happy to answer questions over email or over the phone if anything comes up down the road, or you think of anything. You know, as I said before, we're in this together. We're here to, you know, answer the questions as you may have them. And, you know, we enjoy working with everybody, and we appreciate your trust and support, especially during these challenging times.
All right, this is Jason. Are there any other questions from anyone else regarding this? Okay. Well, without any further comment, if any of the other fire departments want to reach out to Josh or Brian over at Landmark Wealth Management, you certainly can. You can always reach out to my office. I can send out the information. If you did not receive the email this morning, I apologize. I sent it out to the North Boston Fire email, Patchens, and also the Boston. So you should have received it. And again, if you did not, I apologize. But the emails that I had on file, that's what I sent it out to. So.
Yeah, we got it, Jason. This is Ed. We got it.
Okay. Well, did somebody else want to speak there? I saw somebody else.
I was just going to say, Jason, if I'm more than happy to follow up with anyone that didn't get it all. I'll just resend it tomorrow, just to kind of my typical, a contact point at each fire department, just to cover our bases.
That'd be great. Certainly appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, with no other further comments. Josh and Brian, you guys want to stick around? You're certainly always welcome. It's a public meeting, but if not, I'll let you both get on with your evening. And I, as always, thank you for your time, your insight, and your guidance to the town board and everybody with the Firematic body. So thanks again.
Okay, guys. Thank you, and good luck going through everything, and stay healthy.
Yes, you guys too.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye.